Hare Krishna. Today we're going to be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 14, entitled The Disappearance of Lord Krishna. And today's verses are going to be actually quite longer ones. These are actually from verse 12 up to verse 29. So the way we're going to do this is I'm just going to do the translation. It's because that there are no purports by Prabhupada onto these verses. So I'm just going to read the English translations. And then together we're going to do the 28. And 29 is on the board. Okay, so let's start with the verse 12. Just see, O Bhima, how the she-jackal cries at the rising sun and vomits fire. And how the dogs barks at me fearlessly. There's one small purport by Prabhupada on this one. Prabhupada, he writes, these are some bad omens indicating something undesirable in the near future. Verse 13. O Bhimasen, tiger amongst men, now useful animals like cows are passing me on my left side, and the lower animals like the asses are circumambulating me. My horses appear to weep upon seeing me. Verse 14, just see, this pigeon is like a messenger of death. The shrieks of the owls and their rival crows make my heart tremble. It appears that they want to make a void of the whole universe. 15, just see how the smoke encircles the sky. It appears that the earth and mountains are throbbing. Just hear the cloudless thunder and see the bolts from the blue. 16. The wind blows violently, blasting dust everywhere and creating darkness. Clouds are raining everywhere with bloody disasters. 17. The rays of the sun are declining, and the stars appear to be fighting amongst themselves. Confused living entities appear to be ablaze and weeping. 18. Rivers, tributaries, ponds, reservoirs, and the mind are all perturbed. Butter no longer ignites fire. What is the extraordinary time? What is going to happen? The calves do not suck the teeth of the cows, nor do the cows give milk. They are standing, crying tears in their eyes, and the bulls take no pleasure in the pasturing grounds. Verse 20. The deities seem to be crying in the temple, lamenting and perspiring. They seem about to leave. All the cities, villages, towns, gardens, mines, and hermitages are now devoid of beauty and bereft of all happiness. I do not know what sort of calamities are now awaiting us. 21. I think that all these earthly disturbances indicate some greater loss to the good fortune of the world. The world was fortunate to have been marked with the footprints of the lotus feet of the Lord. These signs indicate that this will no longer be. 22. O Brahmana, Shaunaka, while Maharaj Yudhishthir, observing the inauspicious signs on the earth at that time, was thus thinking to himself, Arjuna came back from the city of the Yadus, Dvaraka. Just a small point. We can see how the whole narration was happening, and now kind of we zoom out, and now Sutta Goswami is narrating to the sages of Naimisharanya. Therefore he said, O Brahmana Shaunaka. And then he explained that what happened, that actually Arjuna arrived for the town of the Yadus from Dvaraka. Continuing, verse 23. When he bowed at his feet, the king saw that his dejection was unprecedented. His head was down, and tears glided from his lotus eyes. 24. His seven wives, headed by Devaki, seeing Arjuna pale and due to heartfelt anxieties, the king, remembering the indications of the sage Narada, questioned him in the midst of friends. 25. Maharaj Yudhishthir said, my dear brother, please tell me whatever whether our friends and relatives such as Madhu, Bhoja, Dasara, Arha, Savata, Andaka, and the members of the Yadu family are all passing their days in happiness. 26. Is my respectable grandfather Surasen in a happy mood? And are my maternal uncle Vasudev and his younger brothers all doing well? 27. His seven wives, headed by Devaki, are all sisters. Are they and their sons and daughters-in-law all happy? And now we're coming to the text 28. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gornitai ki. So I'm just going to recite the verse 28 and then together we can do the 29. Kachi Raju Huko Jivati Asat Putro Syachanuja Hridika Sasuto Kruro Yojanta Gadasarana. And 29. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Are Ugrasen, whose son was the mischievous Kamsa, and his younger brother still living? Are Hridika and his son Kritavarma happy? Are Akrura, Jayanta, Gada, Sarana, and Satrujit all happy? How is Balaram, the personality of Godhead and the protector of devotees? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Hastinapur, the capital of the Pandavas, was situated somewhere near present New Delhi, and the kingdom of Ugrasen was situated in Mathura. While returning to Delhi from Dwaraka, Arjuna must have visited the city of Mathura, and therefore the inquiry about the king of Mathura is valid. Amongst various names of the relatives, the name of Ram or Balaram, eldest brother of Lord Krishna, is added with the words the personality of Godhead, because Lord Balaram is the immediate expansion of Vishnu Tattva as Prakash Vigraha of Lord Krishna. The Supreme Lord, although one without a second, expands himself as many other living beings. The Vishnu Tattva living beings are expansions of the Supreme Lord, and all of them are qualitatively and quantitatively equal with the Lord. But expansions of the Jiva Shakti, the category of the ordinary living beings, are not at all equal with the Lord. One who considers the Jiva Shakti and the Vishnu Tattva to be on the equal level is considered a condemned soul of the world. Shri Ram or Balaram is the protector of the devotees of the Lord. Baladev acts as the spiritual master of all devotees, and by his causeless mercy the fallen souls are delivered. Shri Baladev appeared as Shri Nityananda Prabhu during the advent of Lord Chaitanya, and the great Lord Nityananda Prabhu exhibited his causeless mercy by delivering a pair of extremely fallen souls, namely Jagai and Madai. Therefore, it is particularly mentioned herein that Balaram is the protector of the devotees of the Lord. By his divine grace, only one can approach the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, and thus Shri Balaram is the mercy incarnation of the Lord, manifested as the spiritual master, the savior of the pure devotees. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakayam Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So as usual, I would like to humbly request the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, those which are present here, senior, juniors and peers, kindly bestow your blessings and your permissions for me to speak. I have one kind of a small request for you. if you can all just put your right hand like this in front of you, with the palm specifically facing me. And Jai Krishna Prabhu told me one very interesting thing this morning. What's the mantra? Am Vishwavam Bhavat. So say, Am Vishwavam Bhavat. Or Tatastu. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Now I feel much, much better. Yes, it basically means all blessings upon you. Or may the good fortune be upon you. So whatever activity we perform, it's good always to have blessings and permissions of the Vaishnavas. So, thank you. Vancha kalpa turupyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavinibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. So, in the beginning of this chapter, I had the opportunity to speak and basically a bit introduce what does it mean to nimitta, right? Nimitta gyan. We have kind of some introduction into the signs of omens, and now we can see in those from the verse 12 up to verse 24. There was all these were nimittas, nimitta gyan, basically very direct presentation of actually how these nimittas are there. Can anyone remember one or two specifically from this? Chapter, any nimittas? Sun rays with diminishing Gopinath. Cows were not drinking. Yes, milk. Even the cows didn't want to give milk. Any other ones? Sankirtan Prabhu. Trembling of different parts of the body, ladies. Yes. Yes, lower animals were circumambulating him. Yes, thank you. Yeah, jackal was vomiting fire. So I would like to hear maybe what do you think about it. I never seen jackals vomiting fire before. I hope I don't see it because it looks pretty scary. A very interesting point which was mentioned that the cows were actually circumambulating Yudhishthir from right to left, anti-clockwise. And low animals like asses, they've been circumambulating Lord Yudhishthir Maharaj from left to right. So what's supposed to be auspicious becoming auspicious. So we understand that whenever we want to receive some blessings, we circumambulate Tulsi from left to right, right clockwise. If you do it anti-clockwise, it's considered to be inauspicious. I don't know if you've seen this movie, Lord Ramachandra, when he was departing to the forest, he circumambulated all the king Dasharath and all the queens and begged for permission to leave. But one thing which I would like to speak today is something as a reflection from my side, which I'm very much lacking, and that is aspect of sensitivity. So sensitivity was performed by Yudhishthira Maharaj in two aspects in this specific selection of the verses. One sensitivity, as we've been discussing past few, maybe week or so, was sensitivity of perceiving the nimittas, perceiving what's actually happening around you. And the second sensitivity which Yudhishthira Maharaj performed was by observing Arjuna, right? We had the kind of zoom out where Sutta Goswami starts speaking to the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shanaka Rishi, and he said, in this moment, when actually Yudhishthira Maharaj was speaking with Bhimasen, at this specific moment, Arjuna came. And as the verses will be progressing, we will actually understand what is the mood of Arjuna, right? Sometimes when we look at the devotees, the way they're acting, the way they're presenting, you can actually see what is on their mind. You can if you're sensitive enough, even if a devotee or someone puts a kind of a facade, right? Many times in Sankirtan, it happens that you look at people and say, yeah, I'm all happy, I'm all, fired up, everything is okay, everything is good. But then you probe a bit, then you really go, can you touch you push a few buttons and people start crying on the streets. For those who've done Sankirtan, if you had that experience, so it's smiling faces, crying hearts, right? But here, a Vaishnava is a person who's not duplicitous. duplicitous in the sense that whatever is in his heart, whatever is on his mind, he presented outside. So what is the relationship of Krishna and Arjuna? It's quite straightforward. They're friends. In one point in the Bhagavad Gita, 2.7, Arjuna says, Karpanya dosa pata swabhavaha parchamitvam dharma samudha chitaha. He actually relinquished the position of a friend and accepts the position of a disciple. But nevertheless, overall, the whole Mahabharata, Arjuna and Krishna are very good friends. So we can understand that Arjuna was very, very upset. Why? Because he already know the information. He already understood what actually happened in Dwaraka. He already knew that the Yadu dynasty kind of finished their pastimes. Krishna departed. And all these inauspicious omens are actually indicating that there is no more presence of Krishna on the planet. We understand that Krishna is eternally present in his name, in the Bhagavatam, in the hearts of the devotees, in the holy Dham. But as a personality, as a Swayam Bhagavan, he already departed for his next pastimes. So sensitivity of Yudhishthira Maharaj is that he understood all these nimittas, he understood that all these inauspicious omens, and he understood also, he put two and two together. He saw these indications, but same time he saw that the most confidential friend of Krishna, look at him, is upset. Where is his effulgence? You know, we should not forget that Arjuna was actually worshipped and respected by the demigods. Right? He was respected on the court of Indra. What was the position that Indra offered to Arjuna when he entered the heavenly regions? Next to him. And that's kind of a big thing to happen. If some regular person enters the heavenly regions and the king of all demigods asks you, please sit next to me on my asana, sit next to me. That's a big respect. So, but later on in the Bhagavatam, Arjuna will kind of reveal his heart and he said, whatever strength I had, whatever auspicious activities I performed, whatever knowledge I possess, whatever worship or respect I received, is all thanks to you. So this is a practical aspect of yoga, of connecting. As we've been speaking, as Navadvipa Chandra Prabhu mentioned yesterday, it's all about actually connecting these abilities to Krishna. Nevertheless, we respect them and we worship these abilities in the sense that they are actually coming from Krishna as the ultimate source. So one of the points which I wanted to mention is that great Vaishnava and great devotees, they are very sensitive and they understand the subtleties in all of us. Srila Prabhupada, he was expert at this. Srila Prabhupada was expert in reading people, right? For those who watch Prabhupada's memories, it's always so amazing to see the realizations and reflections of Prabhupada disciples. How they, the moment they saw Prabhupada, the moment Prabhupada glanced upon them, every single one of them had this feeling that he saw through me, right? We have these masks, we have these layers, and we have different facades in front of different personalities, in different circles, right? You speak differently with your family, you speak differently with your friends, you speak differently with your colleagues, you speak differently with your spiritual master, you speak differently with your juniors, with your peers, and with the seniors, right? But a pure devotee, he can see through all of this. He doesn't care about those layers and layers of, you know, ahankars, these material coverings, but he sees your true position, truly who you are. So same thing with Yudhishthira Maharaj. The sensitivity of Yudhishthira can truly perceive all the omens and indications around him. And same thing, he can understand through his vision that how Arjuna is actually suffering. And he put it together and he drew a conclusion. And that conclusion was that Krishna withdrew his pastimes. He kind of withdrew himself. So this is a science. And this sensitivity comes through following the four regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds. Simple as that. Why? Because through following four regulative principles, what happens, your subtle body, your senses become purified. And by chanting your prescribed amount of rounds, you have a spiritual vision as well. So that was the one point which I wanted to mention, that's about sensitivity. And the other part of the Srila Prabhupada's purpose was glorifying and establishing position of Balaram. So if someone puts himself in a position of a spiritual master or a guru or someone who gives shiksha, all of this has to be based on the aspect of bala, right? Aspect of strength. So in the nectar of instruction is actually mentioned who is the person who may become a spiritual master, a spiritual teacher. The one who, does anyone remember what are the characteristics of a person who can give diksha or who can become a spiritual master? Yes? Okay, practices the knowledge, yes. Mataji? He understands the essence of the Vedas, okay. Vacha Vegam, Manasukroda Vegam. Any other points? Who is qualified to be a guru, yes? Controlling the senses. So we can understand the true bala doesn't mean that you have strength of, like you can lift so much. Right, Bhima, he was also considered very strong, but his strength was a physical strength, right? His strength was the strength of 10,000 elephants. Lord Balaram's strength is the strength of spiritual guidance, and all this strength can manifest through also when devotee is truly genuine with the practice of Krishna consciousness, Balaram can manifest his strength through guiding you or through giving you certain personalities in your life that can kind of help you to develop your spiritual strength. So there's very interesting verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, first chapter, verse 32. Krishna Guru Bhakta Shakti Avatar Prakash Krishna E Chaya Rupe Karina Vilas. Translation: Lord Krishna enjoys by manifesting himself as the spiritual masters, the devotees, the diverse energies, the incarnations, and the planetary portions. So in this verse, we can see how actually Krishna manifests all these six aspects of kind of a spiritual guidance. But here Prabhupada is mentioning that Balaram is the original spiritual master. So how can we understand this? So Lord Balaram is the first expansion of Lord Krishna. And if you, yesterday, Paramakaruna Prabhu showed me one very interesting kind of a diagram. It said Krishna expands himself directly only in, let's say, in a rasa dance, you know, when he expanded. I think there were 33 million gopis present there. So Krishna expands himself in a such a way that he can have pastimes with all of them equally. And then Krishna also manifests as Vasudev Krishna in Dwaraka when he was, you know, enjoying the pastimes with the queens of Dwaraka. But Balaram is his kind of a... it's Krishna with the attitude of service towards Krishna. So that's Balaram. And ultimately Balaram is manifesting all of the other incarnations of Krishna. He's manifesting all the pastimes of Krishna. And when you read this purport and also with the translation, the term protection is mentioned three times, twice in the purport by Prabhupada and once in the translation. So what is actually the aspect of protection in our lives? In protection, you have kind of three points we also always have to consider. Point number one, the personality who asks for protection, which is the jiva. Then the facilitator of the protection, which is in this instance is Lord Balaram. And then what we want to be protected from, right? Which is, what is that what we want to be protected from in this material world? Maya. Any other points? What is that you fear so much in this world? Death. Yes, very nice. Anything else? Spiritual fall downs. So when we're asking for protection, we need to understand what we want to be protected from. And in this connection, power of prayer is very important. I cannot give reference to this, but when you study Srimad Bhagavatam, you see how different personalities, they have certain stages in the prayer. Right? The stage number one is, you glorify the personality you're offering the prayers to. Right? Krishna, you are Tribhanga, you are ultimately the protector of the cows and the Brahmanas. I humbly beg you, give me protection. You glorify that person. Point number two of a good prayer is you establish your position towards that personality, right? Look at me, I'm struggling so much. These are my difficulties, these are my shortcomings. You just be honest as much as you can. So that's stage number two. Stage number three, you actually make your inquiry. Dear Krishna, dear Balaram, I'm really struggling with focus. I cannot focus for a long time. I cannot relish the holy name. I cannot understand the scriptures. I cannot have such a relationship with the Vaishnavas. Just make it personal again. What is your point? Then step number four, you glorify the person again. Krishna, only you can help me with these difficulties because you're Jagannath. You are the master of the whole universe. And all the senses, everything comes from you. Therefore, you are my only hope. You are my only source of kind of being happy in this material world. And stage number five, just thank you. Thank you for already kind of doing this, helping with this problem. So these are the five stages of a prayer when you kind of begging for protection. When we ask for protection, there's also a very great aspect of false ego involved, right? In the material world, if you ask for protection, if you ask for shelter from someone, you're lower. You don't have such a strength qualities. You cannot protect yourself, therefore you ask for someone else. So when you're asking for protection, you also kind of put yourself in the lower position. Otherwise, it's not possible. Otherwise, even in any relationship, you cannot have relationship with the spiritual master if you do not kind of put yourself in the humble position. Right? Because, also, as I mentioned, when Arjuna was speaking to Krishna in the 2.7, he said, I'm a Karpanya. I'm a miser. If he said, I'm pretty strong anyway, I'm pretty cool, look at my Gandiva bow, I can defeat anyone and everyone. Krishna said, okay, then do whatever you want. And let's see if you're really, truly so strong. Krishna can withdraw his energy very easily like this. So are you really strong without my energies? So to ask for protection means understanding your position and the position of a person who's giving protection. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gornitai ki. Because how can you be protected if you think you're the doer? That's very important for us. So in the Bhagavad Gita 9.13 is mentioned, Gatir Bharata Prabhu Shakshir Nivasa Sharanam Suhrit Prabhava Pralaya Sthanam Nidhanam Vijam Avyayam. I'm the goal, I'm the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge and the most dear friend. I'm the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place and the eternal seat. So this is Krishna is actually indicating that where else you would like to go? Where else is your shelter? Is your shelter in your material prowess? Is your shelter in your senses, in your wealth, in your knowledge, in your education, in your possessions? Where lies your shelter? Because ultimately Krishna established, I am the goal, I am the sustainer, I am the Prabhu, I am the master. Where else do you want to go? So many times practical application of this is that we go through many kind of troubles or difficulties throughout the whole day. Whatever it is, you can't find your beat back, right? Where did you left your keys? I can't open this jar of ghee, or whatever it is. Simple things. What we do? We take shelter in our strength. We take shelter in many other things. We take shelter in our material concoctions. We always do that. So it's a programming. You literally program your whole life. We program for millions and millions of lifetimes to take shelter of your strength, of your bala, of your intelligence, constantly, right? Everywhere you can see it. The moment you take shelter of someone else, you're weak. You're weak personality. But that's why it means that this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Right? What is considered weakness here in this material world is the greatest strength in the spiritual realm. Let me repeat that again. Whatever is a weakness in this material world is the greatest strength in the spiritual world. Because the whole scripture is actually indicating and pushing you, take shelter, take shelter, take shelter of the holy name, take shelter of your guru, take shelter of the process, take shelter of the sadhana bhakti, take shelter of Balaram, take shelter of Krishna, take shelter of Gaur Nithai, take shelter of this Harinam Sankirtan movement, right? So, what is the true protection? True protection means to be under not material prakriti, material modes of nature, trigunas, three modes of material nature, but be under protection of superior nature, which is para, right? Para prakriti, supreme prakriti, supreme material, supreme nature. So it is said in Bhagavad Gita that those great sages are constantly under my protection. Why? Because of their association. Because the way they associate is they associate with my spiritual energy. And this is very important. Now I would like to speak about one personality from Bhagavatam who took three different aspects of shelter. Or we can perceive it in, you know, three different aspects. Okay, let me ask you a question. Any personalities would come into your mind in the Bhagavatam who took shelter? There are many. Give me a few. Gopi? Kunti Devi, yes. Very nice. Ambarish Maharaj? Mothers, anyone? Rukmini, very nice, yes. Anyone else? Gajendra, very nice, definitely. Anyone else? Dhruva Maharaj, very good. Anyone else? Uttara, very nice, yes. That's part of many, so many. Right? So many personalities took shelter. And this is their glory. This is why they're glorified. They're not glorified, oh, I conquered this, I beat that guy. No, they glorify because they took shelter. But one thing which I would like to mention is personality to whom the Bhagavatam was originally spoken to, and that is Maharaj Parikshit. So there are three ways Maharaj Parikshit took shelter. First was unknowingly, right? Mother Uttara. She was pregnant with Maharaj Parikshit, and she went running to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, look at this Brahmastra. She's heading straight away. She want the Ashwatthama wants to kill the last living person in the dynasty. He wants to kill Parikshit. What are we going to do? So she took shelter, and that's why she's glorified. But then we should also understand that Maharaj Parikshit's body was destroyed, right? He was actually killed by the Brahmastra. So what does it mean, protection? Does protection means that when you ask for protection, please protect my gross body? No. Krishna said, I'll protect whatever you lack. And that is not always gross. That's not always only that I'll protect your possessions. I'll not protect your wealth. I'll not protect your progeny. I'll not protect always your family. Right? True protection means I'll protect your consciousness. Right? I will protect your spiritual bank balance. Whatever spiritual you accumulated, I will protect that. Do not fear. So the body of Maharaj Parikshit was destroyed. So what kind of protection Krishna gave? There's no protection then. Right? But then he again manifested the body of Maharaj Parikshit in the womb of Uttara. So this is one level of protection. When someone begs and when someone prays for you, you will be protected. But why should someone pray for you if you don't have relationships with people? So that comes to the first point which we mentioned, sensitivity, Vaishnava relationship. Be sensitive to others and then others will reciprocate with praying for you. So that's point number one from the life of Parikshit Maharaj. Point number two is how Maharaj Parikshit gave protection. Right? To whom? Citizens? Anyone else? There's a very beautiful pastime with Kali personified. He gave protection to Dharma personified, and he gave protection to Mother Bhumi in the form of a cow. Right? So Maharaj Parikshit first, he received protection by the prayers of his mother Uttara, and then he gave protection to the two, to the bull and to the cow. So this can be also kind of a, in our life, we ask devotees, please pray for me, but then also you can pray for someone else. You can shelter someone. You can, not based on your own strength, but whatever knowledge you accumulated, whatever tapasya you performed, whatever bhakti is within your heart, you can give guidance to others. This is all reciprocation. So this is what Maharaj Parikshit did. He gave protection to others. He gave protection to Kau. He actually even gave shelter to Kali personified, right? Because he was one of the inhabitants, one of the prajas of his kingdom. So Kali asked, kindly give me place when I can be. Maharaj Parikshit gave. And the third stage of protection in the life of Maharaj Parikshit was when he was bitten by a snake, Dakshak, and what happened? He understood, my days are finished. I can't give any more protection. I relinquish. I'm done with this kingdom. Okay, let my son be the next king. All the administration is done. Now I take shelter. Of what or of whom? What was the personality Maharaj Parikshit took shelter of? Shukadev Goswami. Did he went to do his tapasya with idea and knowledge that Shukadev Goswami will give him that protection? Did he know that? Was he aware that, yes, now I will go to the banks of Yamuna? Or was it Ganga? I'm always bewildered by this. Different personalities say different things. Okay, so let's say for now, let's say Ganga, right? Maharaj Parikshit went to the banks of Ganga to perform his tapasya. What happened then? By his clarity of vision, by his purity, he actually, how do you say, invoke a protection of a great personality, of Shukadev Goswami. So it means there are certain stages. By your purity, by your consciousness, by your endeavor, by your desire, you invoke protections of Vaishnavas, right? Why should I give you shelter when you don't have that desire, right? Why should spiritual master is not here to beg you to give you protection? Spiritual master is here to give you opportunity to be protected. It's not like we give service to Guru because he needs our service. He understands that his service is to allow us to receive service from him. Does it make sense? To serve him, yes, thank you. So this is the importance. So the purity of Parikshit Maharaj invoked the presence and blessings of Shukadev Goswami. And in this way, Bhagavatam was spoken. So sometimes what we see as a very great kind of obstacle in our life, if you take shelter, if you start thinking in such a way, the shelter will come to you. That this is the Krishna magic, how Krishna reciprocates with you in your life. But it depends only upon your desires. One last thing, I'm going to mention one story. 1 year ago, I was traveling with my spiritual master, His Holiness Kadamba Kanuna Maharaj. And it's a funny one about protection. What does it mean, you know, protection? I was thinking, I got the bala to give protection. So we've been going for late night programs in New York, and we used to stay in one place where it was not the best neighborhood, let's put it this way. And there was some, you know, violence happening in the neighborhood. So we had late programs, and then once we've been traveling from the Brooklyn Temple to the place where we've been staying, and I was thinking that Maharaj told me, okay, if you want, you don't need to come with me. This will be a late program. I will come very super late. So better you just do your sadhana, wake up early. I was like, no, Maharaj, I'm cool. I want to come. Definitely, I'll wake up, no problem. So in the evening, we arrived. It was like, my God, I don't know. It was like 1 a.m. or something. And obviously what happened, this completely disturbed bhakta, not have enough sleep, I just couldn't wake up. So Maharaj literally came and just wake me up, say, okay, Bhakta Adam, come, you know, it's time to do your sadhana, do some service as well. I was like, okay, Maharaj, I'll do whatever has to be done. But then Maharaj called me to his room, and he said, like, why you haven't, you know, waking up on time? This is not very good for you. I was like, but Maharaj, you know, I needed to go with you because, you know, this is a very dangerous place. I need to be with you. And he was like, excuse me? He's like, well, something may happen to you, Maharaj. You have to be there to kind of, you know, stand guard or something. He was like, what are you talking about? Who are you? Again, again, just my ego gets cut like anything. He said, who are you? Who you think you are? You think you can give me protection? You think that whatever happens, you can actually protect me? And then he just went on full, like, and he was just like, you're a fool. You cannot give protection to yourself. Why you want to give protection to others? Just you should just stay and just do your sadhana properly. Otherwise, you know, look at you, you know. So that's how I learned that actually who are we to, you know, in a certain way to give protection. So I get nicely chopped. So thank you for that, Maharaj. That was I learned a lot from that. I learned two things. One thing, that morning program is super important. And if you cannot do evenings, then don't do morning. Then, you know, you cannot do evenings, then you should make sure to come for the morning. That's for sure. So don't do evening programs if you can't handle it. And point number two, don't think you can give protection to your spiritual master because you can't. So that's that. So thank you so much. I will end up here. If there are any points, any questions, any comments, please voice them now. No? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gora Premanande.